Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And when I started this show almost 8 years ago, I had a specific thing in mind. I looked through all of my Facebook friends, and these were friends that the majority I've known in real life, and then I've also known some other fellow writers that were up and coming. And I had the same feeling going through the full list because I was seeing people from all walks of life, from all the way back in grade school. And I just remember thinking, wow, I know so many awesome creative people because of the journey that I made, my own creative journey. I'm seeing so many other people that are pursuing their own passions and having varying degrees of success, whether they're just getting their first book out there, whether they're getting some music done, whether they're working on a film, whether they're getting into voice acting, whether they're getting into stand-up comedy, whatever the case. These are all these great people. They need a spotlight. They need to be shown that their work is not being ignored. They need to be on a podcast. And then a few months later, I thought, okay, they need to be on my podcast. And that was the start of what would eventually become this show, Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity. And so I have always been looking out for other shows that are doing the same thing, that are looking out for people that don't have a full-on spotlight at this time, or people that really do need to be celebrated. And that is where my guest this week, Carolyn Keel, comes in, because she has put together the Beyond 6 Seconds podcast. And that puts the spotlight on neurodivergent entrepreneurs, creators, advocates, everyone who is all about shattering misconceptions. They're talking about breaking the stigma. They're showcasing what they can do. And it's gotten some wonderful recognition. Throughout the past several years, she has placed in various podcast awards competitions. She has been recognized as an advocate for neurodiversity. She has been put on shortlists for various recognitions. And it is great to see this sort of success building and building with Carolyn and with the Beyond 6 Seconds podcast. So it is my absolute pleasure to have her here so that way we can talk about the history of this show and where it's going to be going in the future. So it is my pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Carolyn Keel. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm great, George. Thank you for that great introduction. I'm really happy to be here today.
And thank you very much for reaching out. And I love the fact that we are part of a podcast community that is all about connecting with each other and possibly collaborating with each other. And here you are.
Yeah, I really love being part of the indie podcasting community on social media. I've met so many wonderful people through that. And yeah, and really happy to connect with you finally voice to voice. It's really great.
I know, right? It's great. And I definitely think that I need to broaden my horizons a little bit more in the social media world with this show, because I think that it's just going to be a benefit to this show and hopefully a benefit to other podcasts to have them on here as well.
There's a lot of really great shows out there now, people talking about really important topics and fun topics. And yeah, it's just really great to see more and more people starting their own shows.
Exactly. And that's something that I always say whenever I see people on social media just hemming and hawing about, maybe I should start a podcast. I'm thinking about doing this. And the way I see it is that if you can commit to a topic that you can carry for at least 50 episodes, then do it. The technology is there. The equipment is there. The reach is there. By all means, get in front of a microphone and tell your story, because you never know how many other people are going to need your help by doing that.
it's a really great way to make a difference and make an impact on other people.
And with that in mind, I'm curious to know where the name Beyond 6 Seconds came from.
So when I started this podcast back in 2018, one of the last things I was trying to figure out before I launched the podcast and had the idea was what the name of the show should be. And I got the name Beyond 6 Seconds from a statistic that I had read online, and it's still floating around out there, that recruiters only look at your resume for about 6 seconds before they make a judgment call on, are they going to move you through to the next round or are they going to put your resume aside? And while I don't really know how much truth there is to that statistic, it might just be like a fun, catchy number, the concept really resonated with me because I wanted to showcase people and give them more time than is normally given during a first impression, which is maybe about 6 seconds. So I wanted to provide a platform where people could spend more time telling their stories. They didn't necessarily have to have everything all polished up and packaged into sound bites and super marketable at that time when they were speaking through it. Because I knew so many people at that time who were doing amazing things, whether they were starting their own businesses or had really cool hobbies or volunteering in a really impactful way. And I wanted to give them platforms similar to what you do with your show and other creatives. The people that I was interviewing weren't getting a lot of recognition necessarily. So I wanted to give them a platform to talk about it more. And my show started out not focused directly on neurodiversity. It was more of a general interview show that I started just for fun. I wanted it as a creative outlet. I used to be a singer before that, and I had stopped singing at that time due to a variety of like logistical problems and issues that had changed in my life at that time. It was just not easy for me to sing in a singing group at that point in time. So I started the podcast and really started meeting and learning how to interview people one-on-one through my podcast.
Nice. It's kind of like how someone else was, I think of Jimmy Fallon, someone who had been in movies and had done television and everything, and then all of a sudden became a late night host. And so now all of a sudden the focus wasn't so much on him, but it was the focus on the guest and what fun things can you do with the guest. So that's definitely a good means to make that pivot the way that you did. I think that's great.
Yeah. And it came together really in an interesting way, because I think that sometimes the technology of podcasting, or at least at that time when there were fewer tools available to us, and I think I started using Skype was the first platform I was using.
I think that was mine too. Yeah. Yep. Before I switched over to Zoom and then eventually found StreamYard, and the quality is just, it was like night and day between it. It was like a big stepping stone. It was like a good high step between Skype and then Zoom, and then just a monumental leap from Zoom to StreamYard.
Definitely. And I think it made it easier because I had been in a singing group for so many years, and I was the one a lot of times helping manage the website and doing some of the recording snippets. So I knew a little bit already about audio editing and using microphones and performance. So I said, maybe that would translate really well to podcasting. And all I have to do now is figure out what I want my topic content to be and all the specifics of making a podcast, like how they get distributed and how they get hosted and all of that terminology. So it did help a little bit to have the music and performance background to start doing this. And actually, I think there are a lot of podcasters who have that performance background, whether it's music or theater or anything like that. I think that helps. But yeah, it's interesting how the stills translate.
It's wild how those podcasts wind up being so much fun to listen to, because they're fully aware of, it's almost like they can picture themselves standing on that stage again, presenting to the rest of the world, except it seems like it's a much smaller stage, but it has potential to just be limitless.
And it's, podcasting is so interesting because it is definitely performing. Like when I'm hosting my show, you have to bring the energy, and I have certain preparation that I do, and always thinking of different ways to guide the conversation and make sure that that I help my guests share their story in the best possible ways by asking the right questions and things like that. It is also a very intimate medium because the listener often experiences it if they're listening to the audio version of your podcast as like an intimate conversation, like you're talking directly to them. So I guess it has some similarities to radio in some ways, but it's very interesting. It's different from, say, like watching YouTube videos or watching TV or streaming, or it's a very unique medium, podcasting is.
Exactly. And I actually would definitely add on to what you were saying regarding how intimate it is, because when it comes to radio, you picture like a lot of different people and everything listening to one radio broadcast, like every on old movies, just, hey, everyone, listen to this. And then they turn it up and everyone just crowding around the radio to hear the latest breaking news about what just happened. But with podcasting, it's so intimate because the biggest audience that you have at once is just a few people sitting in a car. And more often than not, your audience is one person with their earbuds in. So you're basically, you and your guest are whispering sweet nothings in their ear. But at the same time, you're doing it in a way that is engaging, it's educational, and it's hopefully entertaining. Because at the end of it all, we love what we do, because we love what we do. We're definitely not doing it for the money.
So. Yeah, definitely. True.
Yeah. So take us to the time when you figured out the concept and everything. You got yourself in a good position and you got some guests lined up. And then you do that first episode. What was that like once you hit stop and you realize, oh, I just did it. I took my first step.
Yeah. So when I started out, I started by asking some people that I already knew pretty well, either like in my personal life or on social media, like people I've been chatting with and following their stories, just because you want some guests who are going to be potentially forgiving if I mess up the recording or just ask really bad questions when you're starting out. So I started out with like people who I knew pretty well. So the first recording that I did, I remember, I think it took like maybe about 2 hours. It was a long time. Normally I try to keep my recording sessions to about an hour, or sometimes they don't even take a full hour. But at that point, it was the very first time that I did it. I recorded, I had all my questions like written out, but prepared. I had researched the guests so I knew what I was going to ask and what I wanted to have them talk about more. I went through, did the whole interview with her, probably took close to an hour, and then we stopped. And then she said, hey, I know it's your first time. Do you want to do another take of that, basically? So I don't know if she was gently saying, maybe you just want to try that again.
Yeah.
Just so I don't know. Or if she literally meant like, hey, if you want the option of having another take, we can do that right now. I have time. So I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's do that. So we did a second take. And in the end, I wound up, I think I used the intro question, like the very first question from the first take, but everything else was from the second take. So I think she was onto something.
It's like, nice. So that's great.
Good. So yeah. And so, yeah, then I stopped recording and we said our goodbyes. And yeah, I don't remember specifically how I was feeling right after that, but I do remember the excitement of having the first recording. Oh, now I can go into the technical things. And how do I edit this file? And how do I make it? How do I choose takes? And how do I put this together and package it into an episode? And it actually was not the first episode that I released. It was a little bit later. I had recorded a bunch of conversations around the same time. I think I wound up releasing as my first episode, one that I recorded after that. But for some reason, I think this was maybe like my, I don't know. It was one of the early episodes, but not the very first. So I had done a few episodes recordings and then decided from there, okay, which one thematically do I want to start with?
Yeah.
It was an interesting experience.
Excellent. And then so which hosting platform did you wind up going with?
So I wound up going with Libsyn, which I'm still on. But this is 2018, which feels like a million years ago in the podcasting world. But
oh, it does.
It does. But yeah, it was one of the original ones that had a lot of, people really had a lot of experience with it. They have been around in the industry and are they're one of the OGs in the podcasting industry. So I'm like, I'll just go with them.
Yep.
They seem to have a good reputation. And I've just stayed with them since then. So that's my platform.
Excellent. Yeah. I myself went with Podbean to start off with. And that was a good run. I had a good 4 seasons and everything with them. And I'm very happy with what I was able to put out. But I felt like if I wanted to, because I had already started getting involved in what's called the National Podcast Post Month Challenge. And that's, have you heard about that?
Is that the one, is that in November? Is that sort of based? Yep. It's based on the one for writing, I think.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You basically record a podcast episode every day for 30 days.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun doing it
the second time. The first time when I tried it, it was kind of like a lot of stream of consciousness episodes that I just tacked on to my current stream. And so it was just like just almost a little Dear Diary kind of moments. And on the last day, I recorded 11 episodes straight because I was so behind.
Wow.
But I did it. But at the same time, like I wanted to, in the future, start up a show that was going to have its own theme and it was going to be its own stream and it was going to be something completely different. And so I set it up on Anchor, of all places. And then after a couple of years doing it there, because I just did that one season over there, I was like, want my shows to kind of be together. I want it to be like not so much one stream, one continuous stream, but at least I want to see both of them on the same dashboard. Having this be on separate platforms, it just looks so odd. Because the interface looks like this on one screen and then this on another screen. And it didn't do it for me. But then I discovered Captivate. And Captivate allows you to have multiple shows on one account. And I was like, sold. Like And I've been there ever since. I've been using Captivate for over 5 years now, I think. And it's been wonderful. Been a wonderful experience working with this place. And I feel like I've only scratched the surface of what I can do with this because they provide so many tools, so many different methods of monetization and getting sponsorships and dropping ads in and everything. And I, at this time, I don't have any ads, but at the same time, I would like to at least see what I can do in that realm. But with Captivate, I can look at it and see what is available to me is amazing. And I just feel like with my own ADHD brain just constantly getting overwhelmed by the tiniest of things, I really need to sit down and go through that and just go step by step and see what I can do with it. Because I feel like I'm almost like losing an opportunity by not getting involved the way that I should or the way that I can with it. But it's been great. I love this platform and everything. And I encourage other people, like I said before, if you really want to dive in to the world of podcasting, then try something like the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge and see how you do with it. See what happens.
Yeah. No, that's really great. It is a way to challenge yourself to create content and not obsess too much over making it sound perfect, but it's a way to get your creativity flowing. And yeah, that sounds really cool.
In fact, when I decided that I was going to redo my show from the ground up back in 2021, I decided I wanted to really make it much more professional. Instead of just recording into my phone, I would actually sit in my studio where I am now, and I would have an intro and an outro and really put a polish on it, just make it seem like it's a better show. And overall, I definitely succeeded with it, I think, because it does sound a lot better, sounds a lot cleaner, the audio sounds a lot more professional. And I can look at it and just, okay, I did that.
Cool. Yeah, there's so much advancement in the technology, and especially since the time that I started my podcast, definitely a lot more companies that are catering directly to podcasters. Because I don't know if most people remember this, but the indie podcast community kind of discovered Zoom way before 20. We were using it because this is such a great tool, because even though it's not a podcasting tool, but it was a great meeting recording platform. And then, of course, the rest of the world discovered Zoom in 2020. But it was interesting to see that was a tool that podcasters picked up long before the rest of the world.
Yeah. So you got your platform, you got Libs, you got your shows recorded and everything, and then you started putting them out. What was the initial feeling when they started getting out there into the world?
It felt really cool and exciting because I knew I wanted something that could be my own creative project that I could direct and create. And it was really the first time in a long time that I had put out something like that. Obviously, it's not solely my own because my guests help create each piece of content and I have sort of other supports like that. But it was still really exciting to create something. It's like I thought up the idea for this. I didn't have to get it through a whole bunch of approvals before I published it, which is a lot of times if you're working in certain situations, that's usually how that works. But this is cool. It was like something creative that I could do. I could talk about any kind of topics that I wanted to. And I also was able to edit things so that they sounded really clean and just easy to follow. So it was exciting to put it out. And the response was immediate. It's funny. I had put out a couple episodes and then I started getting requests from other people that I didn't know directly who wanted to be on the show. So I knew at that point that the show was getting some legs. Sometimes they do. I get comments and I get emails from people who are listening to shows and really appreciate it. But I also, I have a guest request form. So I get responses from that. And I have a little field that says, hey, how'd you hear about the show? And a lot of times they'll be searching online or AI will actually suggest the show. Like these days, I'm like, oh, that's exciting. I'm glad it's turning up as something that's a resource for shows about neurodiversity and neurodivergence in general. I started breaking out of my small circle and bubble of social friends and going to meet brand new people who I didn't know directly and learn about their stories. If someone shared part of their story with me, or if I could look them up online, if they talked about it in other places and it sounded like an interesting story or an interesting journey that they had been through, I would book them on the show and record it. I think at that point, I was releasing every other week, which is something I, for the most part, I still try to do every other week. That's the pace that I can keep up with. But I had plenty of guests to keep up with every other week. So I was excited that the response was really strong, even as a brand new show.
Yeah, I did something similar with Podmatch, just getting myself set up on Podmatch. And that created a whole lot of connections that I would never have thought that I'd be able to, that I would be able to get. And then reaching out to other people on Facebook that I knew, but at the same time, never knew in person. And there were people that I admired and people that I had grown up as a fan of. And they allowed me to be in their little circle as a Facebook friend. And then when one of them had a book coming out, I suggested to him, would you like to come on my show and talk about it? And he said, yes. And it was just like, wow, okay, what else can I do? And now all of a sudden, it really opened things up.
Yeah, I was surprised how many people say yes to me. That's like how many guests say yes. It's always good to ask if there's someone that you, even if they have a really big following, or even if they're like a really well-known or a celebrity, either in the world or in their own circle of topics, it's always good to ask, because a lot of times people will say yes.
Absolutely. And it's led to some of the greatest moments on this show. I was able to put together a full month's worth of a retrospective celebration in 2021 for the 35th anniversary of Transformers the movie. And it was just like, I know the platform is really geared towards a lot of up and coming creatives and everything, but it's also a means for me to say thank you to the people that inspired me. And that led to that whole month's worth of material, which was just an amazing experience. And I'll never forget. I'm eternally grateful to all the people that said yes for that. And especially to one that's no longer here, a screenwriter, Ron Friedman. And the two of us became like, we weren't like buddy-buddy or anything, but at the same time, like he knew who I was and I knew who he was, and he supported, and he was a big cheerleader during that time that I've known him. So it's like, this is wild. So as things go on, though, with your show, all of a sudden you're getting put on short lists for recognition, and then you're being nominated for an award, for awards, and then you're placing in those award categories and taking first place and second place and everything. What was that experience like? And that's an experience that is still going today, because that started back in, what, 2022, when you started getting that sort of recognition?
Yeah, that sounds about right in terms of the timing there. I'm just taking a look. Yeah, 2022. So yeah, that was actually pretty amazing to me. I've been podcasting for a couple of years and hadn't really thought about awards or recognition, was just really focused on the show. And then I guess I probably just being part of the indie podcasting community and following different people on social media, you hear about different awards programs and things like that. And every once in a while, like, it would be cool if I got recognized by an award ceremony. I'll admit I do enjoy the external validation of awards sometimes. So I'm like, you know what, let me try this. So I think the first one, yeah, I did try a couple in 2022. I applied to a bunch of them that time because I honestly didn't think I was going to win anything. And I'm like, let me just try this and see what happens. And I tried to focus on ones that I were more focused on indie creators, because there are like really big podcast awards that celebrity podcasters win. But there are actually several award programs that focus on indie podcast creations and things like that. So yeah, in 2022, I submitted for a few and was really surprised to get not just shortlisted for some of them, but also to win in a couple of them. For some, I interviewed and submitted in a couple of category awards, but that was really exciting. And then after that, I'm like, okay, I've got these awards. It's really cool. And then I would hear about a new award program, be like, maybe I should just try for that. A lot of times it was just curiosity to see what would happen. And the particular awards programs I entered weren't, because there's two kinds of awards. There's some that are like you submit and a panel of judges who are usually people in the podcasting or audio industries will review all of the submissions and make judgments based on a variety of criteria that they have. And that's how you get recognized. And then there's others that are more like the popularity contest. Hey, nominate yourself or nominate anyone. And then people will just go in and vote for their favorites and things.
Yeah.
I've avoided those because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to place in those. I know people who have like hundreds of friends and followers will just go vote for them and things like that. I'm like, that's not quite where I am at this point. And, you know, I don't want to just keep asking people to vote for me just so I feel good about it. But I'm like, but I would actually like to get my work assessed by people who can judge me, who have experience in the field. And that would mean a lot to me to get an award from them, because it means, oh yeah, your work really is quality because I have experience in looking at a lot of other quality work and I know what quality work looks like. So those are the ones that I tended to focus on. And yeah, I got a few more recognitions through that and it's been really exciting. So I've been very appreciative and just in some ways surprised and blown away to have had the recognition over the past couple of years of the show. I'm just really grateful that people find it valuable.
Do they come with laurels or anything like that that you can add to your website?
Yeah, we've got the bragging rights and things like that. And some of them do come with trophies, which are nice, or little medals. And this is silly, but I didn't even really think about this until recently. But I remember growing up, I tended to do pretty well academically and when I would get some awards, but I never, because really only the athletes got trophies, like academics didn't get trophies, like where I was growing up in school. So it's like, I always, in the back of my mind is, oh, like, I really wanted like a trophy, like something to put on the mantle or look at. And then I kind of forgot about it. Like I went into my adult life and like forgot about that old dream. And then this podcasting stuff is the first time it's, oh, I'm actually eligible for something where I could get like a trophy that I could put on the mantle or on the shelf and look at it. And so it's weird to see that full circle moment happen like decades after I've left school. It's, oh, now I can finally get trophies. It's a little silly, but it's kind of interesting. And I actually do have some of the trophies downstairs on the mantle and I get to look at them. And it's cool. Like I'll admit, like I do enjoy them. It reminds me of the whole experience. It makes me feel good about the show. And yeah, again, I'm just so appreciative of everybody who takes the time to look at all the shows and help indie podcasters get recognized in any way. Because even just being on lists, like there was one where I was shortlisted for the Ambies, which is a huge awards, like in 2020. But even just being on that shortlist, I think I was like listed in press releases. And I was just so excited to be listed in a press release. I'm like, wow, like my show has been listed with all these other amazing shows. And even like some of the celebrity shows were shortlisted at that time when that went out. So yeah, it's like little milestones like that for me mean a lot. And some of it seems so superficial to be talking about how excited I am about having trophies downstairs, but it's not really about the trophy. It is about the fact that the show is being recognized, that people look at, oh, this is a quality show. This show makes a difference. Other people should listen to the show. That means the most to me.
Because two of my short screenplays that I've written are going all around the film festival circuits. And any sort of, if one of them gets picked as an official selection, just an official selection, it's not even saying like whether I was nominated for anything. It was just like, okay, you're a part of this festival. I always ask, does it come with a certificate? And so that way they can send that over to me. And I got framed certificates all over the place, like in that one spot in my office, and the three trophies that I've won so far. And yeah, I absolutely agree that it really is. It's a validating experience, and it's something that you don't want to think of it too much as vanity. You want to think of it as, okay, I'm on the right path with what I'm doing. And those milestones, that's winning a level in a video game.
Yeah.
And then you get on to the next one. The more we do this, the better we get at it. And these are the symbols that show, hey, we're getting better at this. And so why not enjoy that? Why not be your own cheerleader and accept the fact that if you don't celebrate your own successes, who will?
Yeah. And for these awards, just so people know, I was the one nominating my own show for it. So that is another thing. I definitely appreciate the recognition, but even as an indie podcaster, I think a lot of times we have such a love of creating the actual show and the episodes that sometimes the marketing comes secondary. That's not my favorite part of hosting a podcast, is realizing that I have to go out and not necessarily advertise, but it's like I have to do social media posts and I have to think about other opportunities for the show to get recognized, whether that's an award or just like being named on a list or mentioned in somebody's newsletter. So yeah, it's not that all these people just come out of the woodwork and want to give me like recognition and stuff, but it's something that's important to remember as an indie podcaster, is that you can and you have the opportunity to go out and find other opportunities to be recognized and have your work shared. So again, it can be important to help people find your work in different ways.
Absolutely. And so with everything that you've got going right now, you've gotten the episodes, obviously, you've put in the work to create all these years of content, and you have your guests, that you have the recognition, and you're getting awards for it.
I spent a lot of time at the end of last year and the beginning of this year recording like a whole bunch of new episodes. So right now I'm working through getting all of them released, because I tend to do every other week, like because it's a podcast about neurodiversity for Autism Acceptance Month, which was in April. I do every other week, which is more manageable for me. For me, I'm just looking forward to, I'm almost through the recordings that I did earlier this year, and I'm looking forward to getting some new guests on the show. I'm always looking to talk about different neurotypes or different types of neurodivergence other than autism and ADHD, which tend to dominate the conversation when it comes to neurodiversity or neurodivergence. So I'm always hoping to talk with people who can talk about their experiences with psychosis or schizophrenia or being plural or having dissociative identity disorder, or even just different types of learning disabilities, maybe that don't always get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. I did an episode earlier this week about dyscalculia, which is a learning disability around numbers and quantities and quantifying things. So I'm always trying to just find guests with different stories about whether it's neurotypes that tend to be more stigmatized or tend to be not talked about as much on podcasts, particularly podcasts about neurodiversity. And yeah, I think in the next, as the year goes on, I'll be thinking about other ways to potentially add value or help share the show and help share some of the knowledge I've gotten from the show. Like, for example, during Autism Acceptance Month, I was on a live stream for a different organization. It was an organization run by a guest that I had on the show earlier, where I talked a little bit about my own experience being neurodivergent. And I really like being on other platforms like that and partnering with other podcasters too. I've got an episode swap coming up with another podcast that focuses on disability. So that will be coming out pretty soon. And really any kind of partnerships are something that I really get excited about.
And with everything that you have going on, where can my listeners find you on social media?
I'm probably most active on Instagram. My handle is @beyond6seconds, and that's the number 6 in the middle. And I'm on Threads as well. And that's probably where I'm most active. You can also find me on Beyond 6 Seconds podcast. Has its own page on LinkedIn, and I put all my posts there as well. And of course, everything is on my website. So if you just want to get a quick view of what I've been up to and see all my episodes, you can go to beyond6seconds.net. Again, that's the number 6 in the middle. And you can find everything there. I've got an email newsletter you can sign up for and get episodes a little bit ahead of time, little previews. Oh, I'm also on YouTube. So you can look me up at Beyond 6 Seconds on YouTube. I try to be at least have some sort of foothold in different platforms. But probably going to beyond6seconds.net and checking out my website is where you can find everything, or all my socials and all my stuff like that.
Excellent. I am so excited for you. I'm so excited for this show. I am so excited for the future of podcasting in general. And I really hope that for those of you who have been thinking about trying to put their own spin on this wonderful world of podcasting, whether or not they want to get in and they have an idea, but they're not sure if they really want to go for it. If you've been thinking about it, you got to take the plunge. You got to go for it. You got to get that equipment. You got to get yourself in front of the microphone. Make sure you're comfortable speaking behind the microphone And whether it is a solo show where you're just presenting your own thoughts, or you are doing an interview show where you're putting the spotlight on other people, whatever the case, if you're telling a longer story and this is just being told in increments, there are so many ways that you can use this medium to your benefit. Please do it. It's here and it's not going anywhere. And all you can do is just add positively to it. So by all means, get in front of that microphone and start getting your stories and your thoughts out there, because in these crazy times, we need your stories, your vision, and your ideas now more than ever. So for Carolyn Keel, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.